Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16. One of the other ways that Jesus is present with us is he is present in his word. As his word is read and as his word is preached. Paul talks to the Ephesians about Jesus coming to preach to them. And Jesus never went to Ephesus. He preaches to the Ephesians through the words of his apostles. And we are going to read those now, and Joe is going to come and preach to us. As he speaks, the Lord Jesus speaks to us through him. And so, chapter 16, page 1084 of John's Gospel, Des is going to come and read from verse 5 to 15 for us.
But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you ask me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I say the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. I don't know if you all know, but it's Pentecost Sunday today, 50 days after the resurrection, when the Holy Spirit came down. So I've got a Holy Spirit sermon today. Every sermon's a Holy Spirit sermon, is what you should have said then. But we're focusing on the Holy Spirit's work today. So I'm preaching. Now, some of you would rather have another preacher up here. Can you imagine, though, if you had Jesus preaching? If the risen Lord was here right now, preaching to you. Wouldn't that be amazing? Stuff Ollie, you know what I mean, and Lafraz and Dudes and Mark. Who cares about them? We want Jesus. Wouldn't it be amazing to have Jesus preaching? And then Chelsea was sharing about the Friday evangelism we do. And it's quite nerve-wracking talking to people about Jesus. But how brilliant would it be if Jesus was there with us, the great evangelist, evangelizing to the world? Wouldn't that be so exciting and encouraging? But yet, when Jesus was the preacher and the teacher and the pastor and the evangelist in person, which is in our context, isn't it? He said something really odd. He was right there, and yet he says in verse 7, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away." That's odd, isn't it? Wouldn't we want Jesus right here, preaching and teaching and pastoring and evangelizing? But Jesus says, it's better that I go away. It's for your good that I go back to my Father. And so just a bit of context. We're just after the Last Supper. He's done bread and wine with his disciples. He's washed their feet. And they're probably out on a wander in Jerusalem at night. And as they go, Jesus is teaching them various things. And he says, it's good that I'm going away. How can that be? And the really sad bit of context for Jesus is he's going to face the wrath of God. He's about to go to the Gethsemane and cry tears of blood. And he's been telling them that he's going away to the Father and about to face this incredible hardship for the glory of his Father. And yet, his best mates aren't actually bothered about him. Verse 5, Jesus is saying, I'm going away, but none of you are bothered where I'm going. They're not asking, are you going to be okay? What's it going to be like? How can we help? Rather, verse 6, they're filled with grief for themselves. That's just so selfish, isn't it? Their leader and best friend is going to the cross, and they're just bothered about, oh, I'm sad because he's going away. Which just adds that layer of difficulty for Jesus on the cross. He did face it alone, didn't he? He did face it alone. But Jesus sees past their selfishness and goes, they do still have real need, so I'm going to speak into their sadness. I'm going to speak into their grief. What a kind Savior. So verse 7, he assures them, it's better I go because I'm sending the Advocate. Now, the Advocate, or Helper, or Counselor, it's a translation of a Greek word here, a name for the Holy Spirit. We're not going to get into that whatsoever. It's not the focus of the passage. We're going to look at the focus of the passage today. But it gives you a flavor of the Holy Spirit's work. And today we're focusing on why is it good that Jesus went away? Why is it good that Jesus went away and sent the Holy Spirit? Well, it's because of the work of the Holy Spirit. We often wistfully yearn to knock about, don't we, of Jesus and his disciples. Someone tells a story of the feeding of the 5,000, and you go, oh, what would it be like to be there? To be eating that fish and bread. But what we have now is better. What we have now with the Holy Spirit being sent from heaven is better than Jesus in the flesh knocking about with us. And I feel like I can tell you that. It's like hard to believe, isn't it? Oh, I can see that's what Jesus is saying, but it would be so cool to have Jesus with us. But it's better that he is gone and sent his Spirit instead. And so, the reason it's better is in this passage, and there's two ways in which the Holy Spirit works, which means that it's good for us. So the first, if you're writing notes, this is what you might write down. Verse 8 to 11 is the Holy Spirit at work in the world and why that's amazing. And secondly, it's the Holy Spirit at work in the church, verses 12 to 15. Holy Spirit at work in the world, Holy Spirit at work in the church. So first, the Holy Spirit at work in the world. In the passage right before this, end of 15 into 16, Jesus has been telling the disciples that when they go out to the world to preach, they will be persecuted. That it's going to be rough. That it's going to be incredibly hard. They're going to face abuse. And so what do the disciples do? They're going, you're not even going to be there for that? They've started dooming. I don't know if dooming's a northern word, but dooming's like, oh, I can't cope. I'm dooming. And I wonder if you feel like that sometimes when you share the gospel. Or you know there's somebody who's like hurt and you kind of know there's something about Jesus to say here, but you're just having a little panic on. You're dooming. And you feel quite alone. But Jesus is encouraging them and us that the Holy Spirit is at work in the world. So let's see what that looks like. Verse 8. When he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. And he goes on to explain what those three things are. So firstly, about sin. Firstly, the Holy Spirit will make the world realize, will make them get the problem of their sin. Verse 9, about sin, because people do not believe in me. people do not believe the words of Jesus. And therefore they need the Holy Spirit to convict them of the sin, to show them they do actually have sin. That was something Jesus did, wasn't it? He told people they have sin. The Holy Spirit is going to do that. And to show them that it's serious. Secondly, righteousness. Now, this is not righteousness, it's actually righteousness. Almost everyone thinks they're a good person, don't they? A pretty good person. When you talk to people, they think they're a good person, don't they? That's always been the case. And Jesus spent a lot of time exposing righteousness, didn't he? What did he do when he went to the temple of God? He flipped the tables. He exposed that their righteousness was just greed. What did he do? He healed on the Sabbath to expose that the Pharisees don't have joy about people being healed. Righteousness. That's what the Pharisees have. And so, really, he exposed that people's righteousness was just a polished turd. You know, that's what it was. Nothing. And so, for Christians, he calls us to true righteousness. Okay? Don't just love your friends, love your enemies. That's righteousness. Don't just give money, but give money without any recognition. That's righteousness. Don't hold grudges or get revenge, forgive. That's righteousness. And Jesus exposed everyone around him, didn't he? They don't have that righteousness. They just have righteousness. And so verse 10, he explains about righteousness. The Holy Spirit is going to convict the world about righteousness because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And so the logic there is the Holy Spirit must come because Jesus, who exposed righteousness, is going to be gone. So the Holy Spirit will carry on that work. He will expose the Pharisees and all of us with that righteousness that we think we have. But Jesus was constrained, wasn't he? Only the people he saw he could do that. But the Holy Spirit is going out into the world to convict people of their righteousness. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world about judgment. Now, this isn't like God's judgment at the end of time. It's like assessing things. Okay, the referee judged that a penalty. That's the judgment going on here, okay? So, judging a situation, that's what it's about. And so, the Holy Spirit's going to prove the world to be wrong about their judgment. Verse 11, about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The logic there is, the very next day, Jesus would defeat the devil. That's the prince of this world. At the cross, it is Satan's moment of defeat. The temples of the false god will come crumbling down when Jesus dies for the sins of the world. The great defeat of evil, that's what's happening. But that moment doesn't just show the defeat of the devil, but it reveals how bad our human judgment is. At the moment of the defeat of evil, the greatest victory in the history of humankind, what did the world do? They mocked the Holy One. The world nailed the Holy Son of God to a cross. We judged it totally wrong. We made the wrong decision, didn't we? We couldn't see that it was the Holy One of God on the cross, and this is the moment evil was judged. But we joined in. The Holy Spirit is needed to open the eyes of the world, to make them see that they got Jesus wrong. They have judged Jesus wrong. Jesus is not a shameful, useless criminal, as it looked, but the Son of God who deserves all worship forever. And so the Holy Spirit's work is ramming home to the world that all that Jesus has accomplished. He's convicting them of their great sin. He is revealing their righteousness to be filthy rags. And he's convincing them that they've judged Jesus wrong. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the world. And if people get those three things, that I've got serious sin, my righteousness is nothing at all, and that I've judged Jesus wrong, what's next? It's falling on Jesus as Lord and Savior, isn't it? So that's the Holy Spirit's work in the world, bringing people to Christ by showing them their sin, their righteousness, and their judgment is wrong. Perhaps the Holy Spirit is at work in this room. Maybe you're a person of the world here. You're not a Christian. And maybe the Holy Spirit is doing this work in you. What can I say? Don't resist him. Acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge your righteousness. It's nothing. And see that Christ is King. And he's the only one who can save you. If you're of the world today and the Holy Spirit's doing that work, talk to a Christian and be saved. And Christians here, how did you come to Christ? We all have our own stories, don't they? All totally varied. But can you see this work of this Holy Spirit when you became a Christian? When you were of the world and saved into the kingdom of Christ? At the time, you probably couldn't put your finger on these three things, but maybe now looking back, can you see it? The Holy Spirit convicted you of sin, didn't he? He made us get our sin problem. And secondly, hopefully this is familiar, he exposed that our righteousness was nothing. My good deeds were pitiful selfishness, really. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit showed us that we'd judged Jesus wrong. Maybe you thought Jesus was kind of a good guy, or you thought he was evil, whatever your situation was. When you became a Christian, you realized you'd got Jesus wrong. And you had to change that to realize he is my Savior. So hopefully, just maybe a bit of reflection, how to see Holy Spirit doing those three things in our lives. I think it's always worth to be thankful and have gratitude. Commanded that all the time. So I thought I could just pray before I move on and thank the Holy Spirit for his work in each of our lives. Yeah? Let me pray. Holy Spirit, we praise you. You saved us out of the world and brought us into Jesus' kingdom. We praise you, O God, for the miracle that you worked in our hearts. You convicted us of sin because we did not believe in Jesus. You exposed our righteousness as filthy rags. And Holy Spirit, you revealed how dumb we had been, how we had judged Jesus wrong. And you filled our dead hearts and our blind eyes with the knowledge of the truth. You brought us to the feet of Jesus. Holy Spirit, you gave us salvation. And we want to worship you and recognize the work that you have done in our own hearts as we see that work in the world today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back to the disciples. They're discouraged. They're about to face persecution. And so for us, in evangelism, when you're despairing or struggling with evangelism, the Holy Spirit is at work in the world. And he works through you, doesn't he? We all know this. He works through us. When you abstain from sin, and when you tell people what the Bible says about sin, the Holy Spirit is at work, convicting people around you about sin. When you live a life flavored with true righteousness, not righteousness, when you actually forgive people, when you love your enemies, when you admit wrong at work, when you look after orphans and widows, the Holy Spirit is at work convicting the world around you about their righteousness. And when you share the gospel of the crucified Messiah with people, the Holy Spirit is at work convicting them that they have Jesus wrong. They've judged him wrong. Now, the person in front of you might not respond well, but that's in God's hand. Your job is just being the humble apprentice to the Holy Spirit. He's at work. You're the apprentice, following his ways. He's doing the work. And sometimes, this has been brilliant to me, sometimes we think he's only working when we're doing it ourselves, but that's not in the passage. Actually, the Holy Spirit is at work in the world, convicting them of sin, righteousness, and judgment, even when we're asleep. You know, how many people's testimony involves when they were away from Christians and the work of the Holy Spirit in them? That's true for everyone. The Holy Spirit is at work all the time. Just be encouraged when you are nervous about evangelism. The Holy Spirit is at work. Don't be scared about persecution. The Holy Spirit is at work. Remember, you're not clever enough to convict any one of these things. And yet the Holy Spirit chooses you to do that work, to do his work with him. So that's the Holy Spirit at work in the world. I hope that was helpful. The disciples are not just dooming about persecution. The disciples are also dooming because their saviour, their teacher, their pastor is going away. They've been clinging on to him for 3 years and he's going away. And so verse 12 to 15, Jesus encourages them by telling them about the work of the Holy Spirit in the church, amongst the disciples, amongst his people. So verse 12, read with me. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. That's basically Jesus saying, you guys are too useless and confused to take any more information right now. But when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll get it more. Verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you of what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. And as you look at that passage, before we get into the work in the church, just notice how often the Holy Spirit is referred to as he. Can you see it? Look down. Verse 13, he, Spirit of truth, he will guide you. He. We can get sucked into a false doctrine, especially with the kind of Eastern spiritualism, that the Holy Spirit is just a force or a wind or an ethereal spirit. That's not true. The Holy Spirit is a he. He is the third person of the Trinity, three persons of God, one God, three persons. The Holy Spirit isn't a weird force that you feel if you're in the right mood. He is a person. Look at the person's specific actions that are in those verses. Verse 13, he comes to us, he guides us, he speaks, he hears, he tells us the future, he glorifies Christ, he receives or takes from Christ, he makes things known to us. That's what a person does, isn't it? It's not a weird spiritual essence floating around in the ether. Holy Spirit is a person. And so when you ask the Holy Spirit for help in your prayer times, you're not trying to zhu up some weird aura. You're asking the third person of the Trinity, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He listens, and he is at work in you. He is at work in this church this morning. He is at work in Cletamur. He is at work in all the little underground churches in Iran. The Holy Spirit is at work, and he loves us with the love of God. He loves us so much. He does this work in the church. You can see the love of the Holy Spirit by what he does for us. And so what is that work? And verse 13, the key thing is, he's guiding us into all truth. Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And now in John, truth is not just head knowledge, you know, facts, true facts. But in John, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so the Holy Spirit is guiding us into Christ, guiding us into the truths about the glorious person of Jesus, guiding us into his gospel that saves us. The Holy Spirit is showing us the power of Christ. He's showing us the kindness of Christ. He's showing us the authority of Christ. He's showing us the humility of Christ. He's showing the future acts of Jesus. That is the Holy Spirit's job, and he loves to do it. The Holy Spirit is at work guiding us into these things. And so verse 14, he will glorify me. Of course he's glorifying Jesus, because he's just telling us about Jesus all the time. The Holy Spirit has been at work for the third... I don't know how long we've been in church now. How long have we been in church? When do we start? Half 10? Hour and 15? He has been at work, glorifying Christ, telling us about Jesus the Messiah and what he's done for you in the gospel. He has been at work this morning. And what's happening in like verse 14 is taken from Jesus. It's a bit like Jesus is sitting on a mound of gold. And he's in this huge mound of gold. And this mound of gold is rich truth about him. And the Holy Spirit, he takes a big handful from the mounds that Christ sits on in heaven and he gives it to the church. He takes these rich truths, these riches of grace from Jesus' throne, and he pours it out on his people. Every day, every week when you meet together, the Holy Spirit is pouring out the riches of heaven on us, the truths of Christ. And so an obvious thing is that we should respond. And the Holy Spirit is doing all this. Let's lean into his work. Okay? He penned this book of truth for that end, didn't he? The Bible is there so that we can get these truths of Christ, these precious riches. So we should realize how much of a treasure this is. When you read it on your own in your house, don't just casually go, oh, I'll read the Bible, tick, job done for the day. Holy Spirit is guiding us into all truth. And when you listen to sermons, what's your attitude? Okay? It should be like you're listening to the lottery numbers. You've got five matching numbers and you're waiting on the edge of your seat for the sixth number. That's how we should be about listening to the word preached. Riches of grace the Holy Spirit is taking from heaven and pouring out on his church. When you sing, you're singing the truths about Christ to yourself, but also to Brenda and Jimmy and Josh and Tolu. You're singing to them the truths, and as you do that, the Holy Spirit is pouring out the riches of heaven, guiding us into all truth. And so, brothers and sisters, we are so blessed. The Holy Spirit is at work amongst us. And he wants to glorify Christ, so let him. Let the Holy Spirit draw your heart and mind to Jesus. Especially on a Sunday, but in your life, when you're living your day, walk in step with the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Let him draw your mind and heart to Jesus, guiding you into all truth. And so, just to express that a little bit clearly, sometimes we think being guided into all truth is just learning new facts. But it's not just learning new facts. It is that. And doesn't the Holy Spirit reveal incredible things through his word? But sometimes it's taking old glorious truths we already know and just pressing them down into our heart. That's what changes is when knowledge becomes deep and understanding. Truths about Christ changes when they're pressed in. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the church. And so I want to finish this morning with a challenge. Now there's a phrase that Christians use and band about in various Christian circles, and I really like it. And they often hear this phrase, don't you? Don't quench the Spirit. Okay? It's from Scripture. It's great. Don't quench the Spirit. And the picture is, the Holy Spirit is at work in the church like a fire. He is bringing the glories of Christ upon his people, and it's saying, don't quench him. Don't throw a big cold bucket of water over the Holy Spirit. Don't quench him. Let the Holy Spirit work. Encourage the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in the church. And so I just want to picture for you what quenching the Spirit might look like in your life. And don't do these things. It's more than just not being spontaneous, which it was often used to use. Sometimes it is that. So basics, if you don't read your Bible, you are quenching the Spirit. He has literally plopped a great translation of the Bible into your lap, and if you can read, he's given you the ability to read it. Do not quench the Holy Spirit of God by saying, it doesn't matter today. I want to spend 20 minutes on my hair instead. Don't quench the Spirit. You've got the Word. Another basic one is act when he is at work. When you're sitting in a sermon and the Holy Spirit convicts you of a sin or makes you see Jesus differently, do something about it. Yeah? You know that bit in James? Be doers of the Word, not just hearers. So those are two basic things that are quenching the Spirit. But maybe some other ideas about quenching the Spirit. Put effort into sermon listening. Those of you who are nodding off right now, wake up. Wake up. The preacher's job is not to be super entertaining and pull you out from your sleepy Sunday morning stupor into listening. Although you should try to do that a little bit. Actually, the responsibility is on you to listen. When Ollie comes up and preaches, or whoever, are you going, the Holy Spirit is at work right now. I need to listen. You know, if you're getting tired, go to the back and just have a walk around. You know, pinch yourself. Get a good night's sleep the night before. Don't quench the Spirit by missing that weekly opportunity to have God's Word preached to you. The Holy Spirit is at work. A few of you have got wider eyes now I've said that. It's nice and hot, isn't it? But when it's hot, so that's one thing to do. Concentrate, and that's teenager or adult. Teenagers often feel like, you know, this isn't for me, or I'm too cool for school. Concentrate. This is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is at work preaching to you. Do your part, listen intently. Singing. How do we quench the Spirit in singing? Well, I think firstly is trust your pastors and trust your worship leaders. They have chosen brilliant biblical songs for your good that the Holy Spirit delights in pressing into your soul. Maybe you hate modern repetitive songs. Maybe you hate the old hymns. Don't let your musical preferences quench the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, through song, is guiding us into all truth about Jesus. That's what he's doing when we sing. And it's not just for you. You're not just quenching the Spirit of your own heart when you go, this hymn again. Think about the people in the room. The Holy Spirit is at work in the church. Sing passionately to songs you don't like the tune of for the sake of your brothers and sisters who need to hear the truth. Everyone in here needed to hear this morning about all those truths beneath the cross. Everyone in here needed to hear this morning that the Lord reigns on high. We sung that in the first song. When you sing, you're singing to help the Holy Spirit press that into everybody else in the room. So sing passionately so that they might be fed through the Holy Spirit. He wants you to join in his work. When you meet with Christian friends, when you hang out with Christian friends, we did that yesterday after church today. What a tragedy it is when we say nothing about Jesus and his work. Did the Holy Spirit speak to you on Sunday of any week? When you meet with your friend, talk to them about it. Oh man, Ollie's sermon was amazing last week. I really didn't get that thing about Jesus before. Or maybe you say, I didn't understand anything Ollie said on Sunday. Can you explain it to me? Talk about Jesus and Christian things. And the danger here, and this is really quenching the Spirit, is when we meet up and we just talk about controversial Christian things. Yeah? Exactly how the end times will play out. You know, which politician is for Christ or against Christ. Don't get caught up in controversies. It comes up all the time. It's in my Bible reading this morning. Don't get caught up. But talk about Christ and the gospel and what he's working in your life and in the person in front of you's life. So don't quench the Spirit. Work with him. He is guiding us into all truth. I've been told, and I love this, on the third week of every month, there's no Bible studies on, right? And you're encouraged to meet with one another in a smaller basis individually. What a perfect opportunity to let the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth. Go and have your chat and think, what am I going to share with my mate about Jesus? What am I going to share with that person that I'm meeting up with this week about Jesus? And it might be your sin that you're struggling with. That's a work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It might be a new thing you've seen about Christ in the Bible. It might be something new the church is doing that's really helping you. Now, you maybe know some people like this, but there are some real quenchers of the Holy Spirit. Don't be this person. Don't be the person that when someone shares a struggle or a sin or starts talking about the Bible or Jesus, don't be the person that cracks a joke and changes the subject because that's a bit serious. Don't be that person. Holy Spirit is at work in his church. Let's not throw a bucket of water on the work he is doing. And I'd encourage you in Bible study to share what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you share things at Bible study, it's often about other people. You know, it's often about kind of easy things to talk about. Can I encourage you to be vulnerable? If the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, or maybe your son's heart or your brother's heart, share those things. Let the group see the work of the Holy Spirit. Or even at Bible study, when the word is read, and something some people at our church have been great at, and it's really made me see this, sometimes we'll just read the word that we're looking at today, and I'll just give them time to respond. If the word's been read, and there's something in there that's amazing to you, share it. Bible study leaders, let people respond to God's word. The Spirit of truth is speaking. And sometimes somebody might say something mental, and you have to correct them, that's fine. But let people respond to God's word. And I think a final point in a lot of this is, and it's maybe a particularly a British thing, but I think we often quench the Spirit because we don't want to look too enthusiastic or we don't want to look silly. And so we quench the Spirit in his work of giving us the truth of Jesus. So let's not do that. Let's encourage the work. I'm a talker. I could say a lot more. I'm going to stop saying things. It'll end up being drivel, so I'll just stop there and bring it to a close. Final things is, brothers and sisters, don't feel alone. Jesus has gone to heaven, but he's given us the Holy Spirit, the Advocate. And the Holy Spirit is at work. He's not something we have to do a ritual to get him to start working. He is at work. Be encouraged. He is at work, convicting the world about their sin and righteousness and bad judgment. We all know he did that work in us. And now in the church, the Holy Spirit is at work. We are daily receivers of the riches of the truths of Christ. So can I encourage you this morning to worship the Holy Spirit for his work? Can I encourage you not to quench the Holy Spirit, but be swept up in the Holy Spirit and his work that he is doing. Be in the fire of the Holy Spirit. Don't chuck water on it. And do what the Holy Spirit loves. The Holy Spirit loves to glorify Jesus Christ. So let him do that in your heart and in your lives. Let him draw you to Christ through everything that he does. Let me pray. Hallelujah. Praise be to you, O Lord, Father, Son, and Spirit. Holy Spirit, we give you such thanks for taking us in our sin and revealing that we needed a Savior. Holy Spirit, we thank you this morning you're at work in this church. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are at work amongst your people day by day, week by week. You have been working hard for 2,000 years in your church, and we have benefited so much, and we benefit now. Lord, let us not miss your work. And finally, Holy Spirit, we ask that we would not quench you in your work. Thank you for all that you do. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.